You know, our world has always had secret societies. When you join one of these, they'll take you from one level mystery to a next, to a next, to a next. And you don't find out till you're way down the path that you actually are in something that is anti-God. And they have these unique ways of filtering God out of it, even making Lucifer look amazing. There's all kinds of secret societies. And the issue is that each level that you go, you will learn a new mystery. And the Bible is a book of mysteries. And Christians who give their lives to Christ and then just kind of plateau, and it seems like the Word, God's Word, doesn't mean much. They've totally missed the power of God's Word and how it prepares you to function in something called the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is a kingdom that is on this planet. It is not a kingdom that has its own territory as far as dirt, topography. It is a kingdom that you and I can function in, and that we can function in like Jesus did when he walked the planet. The interesting thing about the mysteries of the Bible is that they're all there to be revealed. None of them are going to be hidden from you. And that as you begin to learn God's Word, something happens on the inside of you, and you have these aha moments. These revelations, the Bible calls them, change the way you function in your relationships. It changes the way you function in life. It changes the way you look at things. And as I travel and teach the Word to people, it's neat to meet someone who has been literally just taken in and realizes the incredible beauty of the Word of God. In Mark chapter 4 and verse 22, I want to read you a portion of scripture, and they'll put it up on the board, Mark 4, 22. It says, things are hidden temporarily, only as a means to revelation. For there is nothing hidden except to be revealed, nor is anything temporarily kept secret except in order that it may be made known. There are mysteries in the Bible, and people who just kind of read things with only their reasoning. So they figure they got the Bible figured out. There's a heaven, there's a hell, and they got all the typical main themes of the Bible, and then they're kind of bored with it. They start studying other religions, other New Age stuff, and they've totally missed that there is such depth and wisdom to God's Word that if you do not become fascinated and sold out by it, that you'll stop growing, learning, and functioning. I don't know how to put it to people other than maybe use the word perceive. Because the mysteries of God are not figured out in the reasoning of the mind. They're perceived at the heart level. And that is when you begin to function in a place and in a way that you could never just learn. It can't even be taught, okay? It can't even be taught to people. You can teach them about Jesus, who this relationship is with. But as you begin to develop that relationship, these incredible mysteries begin to unfold. Let me move on in this scripture because it's fascinating. It says, if any man has ears to hear, let him be listening, and let him perceive and comprehend. It doesn't say memorize and learn. Perceive and comprehend are two totally different words. It's talking about you and I functioning at a heart level. Now, the heart's interesting. I don't mean your physical heart. I mean that an understanding. When you begin to perceive things, you begin to live and function like Jesus did on the planet. Jesus knew things, sensed things. He literally had control over certain forces and things that went on this planet that shocked people. And the Bible very clearly says, as he is, so are we in this world. So there are things to perceive, things to comprehend. And Jesus said to them, be careful what you are hearing. All right, there's a warning there. Be careful what you're focused on. Because the measure of thought and study that you give to the truth you hear will be the measure of virtue and knowledge that comes back to you, and more besides will be given to you who hear. Now listen to this continuum. For to him who has, more will be given, and from him who has nothing, even what he has will be taken away. Now, I'm going to just go a little bit deeper than maybe you're used to, but I want you to understand that in Jesus are hid all the mysteries of wisdom and knowledge. If there's a true mystery that we need to know, it will be in God's Word. And as you learn to meditate, as you learn to know how to handle God's Word, and I want to talk about that today, God's Word doesn't just give your mind more knowledge. It doesn't just give your mind a better ability to argue that it's the religion. Something takes place deep within you which starts you up. It begins to cause you to function in a level and in a way that you can't function on your own. You see, in the Garden of Eden, when Adam and Eve sinned, one third of them went out, the spirit side, where God's presence came within them, where they knew things, comprehended things, they perceived things. There was a knowing, there was a sensing, there was a powerful force that flowed through them. When they disobeyed God and wanted to make their own decisions, the spirit of God went out, just snapped out, just bam, out. And they functioned as two-thirds of being, living in a body with a functioning soul, which is their will, their emotions. But with this part of them out, there was a sense there's way more that I'm capable of. That's why everybody here has this ongoing sense of greatness. And you don't want to talk about it because it sounds arrogant, but you know there's way more in you than you're doing. You know there's some kind of a greatness, there's some kind of a significance that is in you, that there's something that, and so you begin to feel haunted sometimes because there's more to life that I'm sensing or feeling. There's more that I could be doing, and I know I'm not doing it. It's because there are some mysteries in God's Word, that once you begin to treasure the Word of God, once you begin to get into it, something begins to change. And it's not just knowledge, okay? Knowledge is great, and it's good to learn and to grow. But for a human being to function with all three parts in the proper order, you see, you were designed for your spirit to be in lead position, then your mind or your soul to submit itself to spirit. And then your body submits itself to both soul or mind and spirit. Now, we have it backwards, okay? And each has a voice. The voice of spirit is conscience. The voice of body is feelings. The voice of soul is reasoning. And people live their lives with one of those in control. If your feelings are in control, you're very hedonistic. You're going to do what you feel like, what you want, pleasures, desires, whatever you feel, you're going to go after it. But it's just a lifetime of hell and heartache when you do that, because your life was never to be led by your desires and pleasures. They were to follow soul and spirit. Now, if your soul is in lead position, then your reasoning is in lead position, and you will continually reason everything out at the soulish level. When you reason it out at the soulish level, then everything is reasoning. That is where you're going to love sciences only. And if you can't see it, taste it, smell it, touch it, or hear, then it's not real for you, because soul is in lead position. But when spirit is in lead position, this is where your connection with God, and you begin to perceive things. You can't put words to it. You just know this is the direction we're going to go. You begin to comprehend things as you get into God's Word, and you begin to absorb His Word, and you begin to sense the truths in His Word. You can't even put words to it, but you'll begin to function and live in a way that you don't even realize, because it becomes very natural for you. But the Bible says, as He is, Christ, so are we in this world. Trying to get this message out that I want to share with you. And for those who have been Christians for years, if you've made everything about the Bible just information and reasoning, you're missing out. But if you begin to make it about a relationship with Jesus and you want to get to know him better, this relationship does something to you. When the disciples would preach when Jesus wasn't around, they would share the truth. The people were in awe and they would say this, they could tell they'd been with Jesus. Now, they weren't talking about a wisdom or a knowledge or an ability to communicate. They were talking about something about them. That there is this authority, this confidence, this ability. And the way you are to live your life, you will never figure out if you only rely on reasoning. But if you learn to get into God's Word and to begin to perceive it and comprehend it, like a marinating, a learning to let the Spirit of God, which is in your spirit, begin to rise up into lead position in your life, you'll make better decisions. You will literally have relationships that are rich and rewarding, and you won't know why, because something is flowing in your life. It's a the kind of God love. It's God's love flowing. God's wisdom begins to flow. God's faith begins to flow. Things begin to happen at a level and in a way that normal people and Christians who don't know anything about the kingdom of God and its principles, they can't seem to make it work either. And that's why this astounding verse in verse 25, it says, "For to him who has, more is going to be given." This is a continuum that when you begin to understand the Word and God's Word begins to take root in your heart, that you begin to produce blessing, begins to flow, success. And the word success just means you begin to increase, you begin to win, you begin to rise up in a peace and a joy. And to him who has more, it says more, even more is going to be given. This continuum begins to move in that same area. But then it says, and from him who has nothing, even what he has will be taken away. You know, in the almost 40 years of ministering, I've watched people, and there are those who they literally begin to fall in love with Christ and his Word. There is an integrity. There is this, God's Word is real and it is true. And they begin to just dive into it. They will learn their area, whether it's television or medicine or sales. They'll understand and learn all the things their mind needs to reason through. But when it comes to the leading of their life, when it comes to walking in health, when it comes to walking and succeeding in areas, when it comes to handling problems that terminate most marriages, that terminates most lives, that terminates most situations, they seem to have this ability that they'll just do something. Often people would say to me in a situation where they were involved and say, "Why did you do that in that situation? Why did you do it? And how did you know that?" And I'll go, "I don't know. I just knew." And they go, "Okay, that's weird. That's really weird." No, it's not weird. Because your heart perceives and senses and knows things. You'll begin to function in life. The things you do, the decisions you make, how you treat relationships. Because deep within you, if you've given him your life and he's within you, then you want him to flow out of you. And here is where few people will trust and dive in. And I've seen people that they just tend to mess up every time. From mess to mess, to mess, to mess. It just never ends. Their life is one ongoing hell of problem after problem after problem after problem. And they go, "I think I'm cursed." Well, as a believer, you're not cursed. Now, your old self, the flesh, okay, the old nature's dead, but this flesh, this body, it has desires and it wars against the things of God. And if you don't get into God's Word, and literally, it says in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12, that the Word of God is alive and it's powerful. And it goes in and it begins to divide the body from the soul, the spirit, and it begins to look after things like the very desires, the very the deepest things of your heart begin to get straightened out. Operations are going on the inside of you. Like this young lady shared how she doesn't even know where she forgave or how it affected her. But as time went on, every relationship began to change. She began to smile. Her emotions began to unlock. The Word of God is more powerful than the wisest psychologist or psychotherapist on the planet. You know, when it comes to the issues of the mind, with the issues of your memory, when it comes to the heartaches and the hurts and the brokenness of hearts, when it comes to knowing what decisions to make in the midst of a crazy world and all the storms that go on, a believer who understands the principles of the kingdom and has a relationship with Christ will function in a way that is natural to them, that others have a hard time. And it comes from getting into the Word of God. Now, in Mark chapter 4, the same chapter, let's go to verse 26. Now, this is Jesus teaching. And let's get rid of this little bit of reasoning and let's dive in and say, Holy Spirit, teach us and help us to become enthralled with the wisdom of God's Word. It says, and he said, so is the kingdom of God. So what Jesus is about to say is the way the kingdom of God works. And he says, it's as if a man should cast seed into the ground and he goes to sleep. And he rises night and day and the seed springs up and grows and he doesn't know how. Most of us only bring success into our lives in the areas we know how. Okay? If your truck breaks down, don't ask me, because I don't know how to fix it. And if you see me pop my head under that hood and start pulling on wires, you're in big trouble. Okay? I don't know how. Okay? But that's a reasoning teaching, and I could go learn if I wanted to. But it is saying here that in the kingdom, the way the kingdom works, that now the seed, according to Mark chapter 4, is always God's word. It's God's word. Jesus is teaching parables here, and he's trying to show us a way to live on this planet that is above the heartache, the hurt. But by above, I don't mean you're not going to get it, but I mean that you'll respond to it in a way that is so unique. You'll never have to lose joy and lose peace, even when your great-grandpa goes to be with Jesus, even when people lie about you and steal from you and stab you in the back and fire you and all the rest of the stuff this world has. You will find an ability the world does not have because you've begun to plant his word in your heart. Now, then it goes on to say this. It springs up and he knows not how. That's a very unique phrase because most of us can only prosper. If you don't know anything about men, you're going to have a lousy marriage, ladies. Read a few books, please. Find someone that knows a little bit about men. Guys, you better learn a little bit about women because they're nothing like men. Thank God. And if you don't understand them, you're going to mess it up. You need to learn. You need to grow. You need to understand that this is, doesn't mean this, it means this. Oh, etc. But then there are things that cause you and the nature that is within you to rise up. Okay, I'm way off my notes. Let me just get this out that I'm trying to get out of me. For example, why is it that every bee that comes into this planet instantly knows how to build hives and honeycomb and what to submit to and how to go out and find nectar and bring it back. And there's been no teaching of reasoning to it. It simply is in the very nature of the bee. How come that same salmon that is birthed somewhere up in BC knows where to go every time? How come those swallows go back to the very place of their birth and where those eggs were anywhere on the planet? What's all going on? How come whales know? How come, what's going on? Every animal that's on the planet, who they don't have spirits, they have souls, and so they're not eternal like human beings are. But how come this? Well, the nature of God that is within us, when you begin to allow yourself to perceive, when you begin to allow yourself to comprehend, it's the Word of God. It begins to plant itself in your heart. And then it begins to grow night and day, and you do not know how. All you're doing is you're spending time planting God's Word. And then it begins to grow. It says here, but for the earth brings forth fruit on its own, of herself. Now, here in this parable, Jesus has just taught, and I'm bypassing it for time's sake, that the soil is your heart. The seed is God's word, and that you are the sower. So as you begin to plant God's word in your heart, this seed begins to come up, and this seed becomes the very nature, the very attitudes, the very characteristics, the very fruits of the Spirit that begin to function in your life. You know incredible peace. You begin to know and experience incredible joy. You begin to be patient beyond anything you could imagine. You begin to be long-suffering where things no longer grab you or hurt you, because this very nature of God that is now in your spirit begins to flow out as you begin to plant this word in your heart. And then it says here that for the earth brings forth, or the heart brings forth fruit of itself. First the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he puts in the sickle, because the harvest is come. There are things that are growing inside of you right now, that you better walk this out. Stay in the Word. Keep getting out to church. Keep learning and growing and having a relationship with Jesus, because His Word, it's taking root on the inside of you and it's growing, and you don't even know how. You just find yourself handling things emotionally better. You find yourself making decisions at work in a way that people are attracted to you. You find a strength you never had before, that when others are saying and talking, it would have destroyed you, it would have broken you, and now you're rising up and people are seeing leadership inside of you. And it's not because you learned it. It's growing inside of you and you don't know how. All you've done is be obedient to a process of get God's Word and begin to read it, begin to learn it. And as it gets inside of you, it does something to you. And you begin to live and to be a Christian, a follower of Christ. As He is, so are we in this world. Look at what Jesus says as we go on quickly. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he puts in the sickle, because the harvest has come. You will find areas of your life, things you're believing God for, fit into this spectrum. Okay, for those who are mature in the Word, let me just throw a little tidbit for you to study on your own. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33 says that seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and everything just gets added to you. So if you want to keep grabbing one verse for every problem you got in your life and praying over every individual problem in your life, you get it down the way you want to go, go ahead. But if you want to seek the kingdom first, which is the kingdom way of being righteous, okay, which is a gift to you, and then you begin to seek the principles of the kingdom, you begin to bear fruit in every good work. You begin to literally, your whole life, favor begins to flow in your lives in every area, and you don't even have time to spend the hours in prayer you think you had to get where you're going. Because this kingdom is designed that as you take God's Word, it's the seed bag is God's Word, and you begin to plant His seed in your heart, then it just begins to grow. And Jesus is trying to teach with a parable, an analogy, because he doesn't know how to put it into a language we're going to comprehend, so He uses analogies, He uses parables. And it goes on to say, and He said, so whereunto shall we liken the kingdom of God? He's saying, how can I explain to you the kingdom? Or with what comparison shall we compare it? It's like a grain of mustard seed, which when it is sown in the earth, is less than all the seeds that be on the earth. But when it is sown, it grows up, and it becomes greater than all herbs, shooting out great branches, so that the fowls of the air lodge under the shadow of it. Okay, I have to stop. So let me just say something here. When you go into Mark chapter 4, which is a chapter of teaching parables, the soil is your heart. The seed is God's Word. Do you know what the comparison is to birds? Demons. So the entire demonic kingdom that Christians give so much credit to, oh, the devil made me do it, the devil's here, the devil there, the devil there, oh, I got a spirit of this and a spirit of that, and he's attacking me now, and he's attacking me. That when you simply get into God's Word and you begin to marinate, you begin to get into it, the Bible says that what is inside of you grows so strong that you never have to worry about demonic things. They literally just rest in the shade of your greatness, the greatness of Jesus in your life. God's Word is alive. God's Word is chock full of mysteries that we have not figured out yet. But when you begin to pursue Jesus, who is the Word, when you begin to take His Word and just spend time in it, marinating in it, certain times every day, and you begin to treasure it, the Bible says that God's Word, His kingdom, is like a pearl of great price, that when a man saw it, he sold all that he had, and he went after buying that pearl. I have a question for you. If you're a believer here, have you made Jesus so special, so precious, that you pursue Him with everything that you've got? Oh, you've got your marriage, your home, your family, your career, your business, you've got your hockey, your ringette, and all the other things. You've great, 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 great. Live and love this life. But when it comes to a relationship, there is something about His Word that as you continue to get His Word inside of you, what is growing inside of you, you can't put a finger on, because you can't reason it out. It happens to you when you're sleeping, when you're unaware. You don't know how those intricate things are taking place, but it's taking place, and it's all good, and it's always powerful, and it's always joyful, and it's always taking you in directions that God's plan has always been for you. For a Christian to begin to back away from the word or just talk like this. I just don't understand it. That's just laziness. You need the word. And as you get into the word, it's not just a magical formula like abracadabra kajam. No, no. It is doing something within you, deep within you. It is returning you and taking you to a place that God had his original intention for mankind. How they walked on the planet, the authority they had over everything on this planet, the health and the healing that flows out of heart that won't even make miracles necessary because you walk in health. I could just go on and on, trying the best I could to put words to this incredible thing. It's a relationship with Jesus, but these words begin to give you revelation. You begin to perceive, you begin to comprehend, and your life changes. I hope if nothing else today, I've simply got you fascinated with the Word of God, and that you want to just take some quiet time. I don't know about you, but I take quiet time, a lot of it. But if you can just find 15 minutes a day, turn the cell phone off, turn off your TV, find a place where no one's going to disturb you, and you're going to find that things will come to your mind that you got to do. Just have a pen and write it down so your mind gets clear. And then begin to dive into this Jesus, who you are, why he's made you. And I'm telling you, to just be a Christian who's trying to reason everything through and trying to get all the miraculous to work and trying to be all that you're supposed to be, it's impossible. You aren't being with your reasoning. You are being with the very life of Christ. The Bible teaches us that I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but it is Christ who lives in me. And the life that I now live, I live by this faith in the Son of God who gave himself for me. You must focus on Jesus. You must get into his word. And you're going to find the life of Jesus when you've given your life to him begins to rise out of you. And it influences every area of your life, and it makes you have this sense of purpose, a sense of accomplishment, a sense of I'm following Christ. And I don't know, and everyone thinks my purpose is to be a doctor. No, that's just your job. My purpose is to, no, you, I might have a gifting there. This purpose is to be like Jesus, to follow him, to know him, and it'll change everything in your life. And I don't know how else to put it into words. Get into his word. It's alive. It's living. Get out here on Sundays and learn. Get out to the midweek Bible schools and the courses that we give as truth begins to come out. Because there's so much misbelief, untruth that needs to be cleaned out of you, and the truths of God's word rise up within you. And then this identity, this powerful life that is in you, it's Zoe life of God, will begin to flow into areas you've never been able to change, into areas you've never been able to make work. The way you feel changes as you recognize it's not my ability, it's the ability of Christ that now lives through me.